it's significant in the sense it's, I think, the first time the Nobel Committee has spoken up in this way. I'm not sure it's significant in terms of the impact it will have on the ground in Ethiopia. I think I saw a response by the Prime Minister's spokesperson suggesting that the Prime Minister was already doing everything he can to end the conflict with an enemy that they term as a terrorist organization, the TPLF. Clearly, these sorts of calls that the Nobel Committee has just joined have been made already by multiple actors urging the parties to strike a ceasefire and try and resolve their differences through negotiations. And although we've had some positive steps recently, the withdrawal of the Tigray forces, the federal decision not to fully reoccupy or try and reoccupy Tigray, and the release of some political prisoners, we still don't have any direct talks or any formal cessation of hostilities between the parties. So there is still a very long way to go.
Why do you think, despite international call and pressures on the Prime Minister to end the conflict, it appears not to have worked? Why? Why is this so?
Well, it's the Ethiopian civil war. The Ethiopian political actors, the warring parties, failed to resolve their differences peacefully. They entered a war. I think just because external actors tell them to enter negotiations doesn't mean that they then reconsider those choices they've made. I think it's become more difficult to find peaceful resolution to the political differences since the war began, and the bitterness increased, the trust evaporated, the mass killings began, the atrocities. There's also some very hard challenges ahead in terms of the territorial issues, particularly. Tigray's leadership demands the return of Tigray's pre-war borders. The Amhara region has occupied Western Tigray and claimed it as its own. It's a massive political challenge. Tigray now has a large standing army. We don't know how large, but it's big. And that force has been built up because the Tigray leadership and many Tigrayan people believe they face an existential threat, a genocidal campaign by the Eritrean and Ethiopian militaries and the Amhara and other forces. So the Tigrayans are hardly likely to volunteer to disarm or downsize that force that has been built up for their own survival. But of course, on the other side, in Asmara, in Addis Ababa, in Bahedar, in other places, those Tigray forces are seen as an existential threat to them, and indeed are cast as a terrorist force. So these are gigantic political obstacles that have come in the context of any peace process. So, International Crisis Group, we've been urging the parties to settle their differences peacefully and not enter conflict before the war. We and many others have repeated those calls since. But the fact of the matter is that war began, and essentially both sides believe that they are, or all sides believe they are, locked in an existential struggle. So I think that's why these simple appeals from external actors for a more peaceful path to be taken have fallen on deaf ears so far.
What are your expectations in the coming weeks about how the conflict is going to go, whether there would be a lull or possible negotiations to end this conflict or try to resolve it?
Things have been very volatile, so you've got to be very careful trying to assess what's going to happen going forward. We have seen something of a lull in the fighting. The Tigray withdrawal meant there was no prospect of those forces capturing Addis Ababa. And indeed, it meant the end of large-scale hostilities, particularly in Amhara region. But we have still seen a continuation of fighting, although it's hard to assess the intensity of it in various sort of border areas of Tigray. Clearly, there is a need for a formal cessation of hostilities and for the parties to enter direct talks. The international actors could play a potentially useful role in facilitating those talks and maybe in monitoring securing any ceasefire that emerges. But there is also, of course, a danger that this is just a temporary lull in the fighting. And given that Tigray is still under a de facto blockade with no federally provided banking, telecommunications and electricity services, no trade to Tigray, and very little aid going in fact, no aid since December the 14th, and no fuel vital for humanitarian operations since August, then the Tigray leadership is not just going to sit there whilst they remain under what they describe as a siege.